Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
bear witness to the day of Jesus. And welcome to inheriting power of today, and this day and time, for us to keep abreast as to what is going on in the world and how we can best be served in the world. You must have mental freedom in today's world. The world we're in today requires. And you must have the power because whatever controls your mind, whatever controls your thinking, controls you. No matter what we think about ourselves, we have to be in control of our mind and have the freedom to be in that control. This is why inheriting the power of mental freedom. Regardless of what we believe or think we believe, the mental freedom is the final decision, and the decisions can be made under that basis, under that circumstances of mental freedom. Whoever controls our mind, our thoughts, with whatever method they use, is in control of our mind. Our behavior is determined by that control. During trying to develop our minds, we must come into this understanding, come into this concept. My name is Imam Shahid Abdullah. I'm the African Balian American Griot. And I have over 17 years of study, formal education. I have a bachelor's degree in sociology, but independent study. About the sociology, about the development of societies, development of cultures, very impacting information that I was able to develop and find during that time. I'm also an Imam and student of Imam Rafi Muhammad. I've studied and researched religion, especially Islam, and looked to see what was relevant, the relevant impact that religion has on our mind and our behavior. And I was blessed to be able to come up with a great deal of knowledge, a great deal of information, what sort of spelled out a direction for myself and a direction that through the aid and work of others. Those who came before me were able to develop information that could help me to find my way into this today's world. Today on our program, we're going to have a guest, Kareem Green, who's a broker. He deals with finance, deals with how you can plan your future and how you can best serve yourself, family, through the aid of planning. Before we bring him on, we do want to complete our subject from the last time we were on. which was about 2 weeks ago, and we were bringing together some information. And I'm going to encourage you, those of you who are listening, who are part of this particular program today, encourage you to participate, because we have an open floor here at AM360 and here at in the program we have today of Inheriting the Power of Mental Freedom. And it's really geared for open participation so that you can get the best out of and the most out of what we have to present, and perhaps even offer some direction yourselves. So we have a segment for that. And we just ask each of you to be cautious in terms of your time. Your time is going to be intertwined with others who are also on the program and they would like to speak. We're going to give everyone time to speak. So we're going to have that section. Then also we're going to have sections that we're going to remind everyone as to why this program and many like this program on AM360 and what AM360 objectives and goals are in bringing you the necessary information that we believe can help you in your direction. If it's just a matter of giving you information you haven't had before or information you want to comment on or see another direction, but we've given you information there, we have to agree that sometime the information we bring may be strong. It may be it may test your belief system even, and it may test what you think you see in the society and what you believe you can do in the society. So the information we bring is information that is not the kind of information that we don't baby treat the information. We're not giving baby food. This particular, this is not a baby diet. This is an adult diet. And the questions we raise may sometimes be provocative and may sometimes provoke you to give another point of view, provoke you to even question what was given. And that's good. That's good, because that's what we want to do. We want to get to the point where we can do and say things cause you to think and be able to question and follow directions your own mind can dictate to you as you get and gain the knowledge that we are espousing, the knowledge we are given. I was blessed to be able to write 3 books, one called The River of Gold, that's River of Gold, but my first book was Success is Automatic. Is automatic deals with the nature of success and talks about the what should come naturally to us. But because of the society we are raised in and because the things we are involved in, sometimes that natural development doesn't really take place. It comes out as irregular. It comes out unnatural. But there's a natural course to success. And in my first book, I explored that avenue. I explored that course of how success is as natural for the human being as eating food, as breathing air, as drinking water, that success is just as natural as cultures evolving in the society. It's a natural process that is created in the human being to encourage the human being to build a society or build a culture or build a civilization from what we find ourselves with. Being was first created, he had nothing except himself and the mind that was in his infant stage, what was growing. And from that infant stage that the human being with our contact to the physical world had developed and matured into a thinking creature. And we thank Allah, we thank God for that because he is the creator. And he didn't just create the human being to fail. He created the human being to be successful. In my first book, Success is Automatic, points that out and points out why automatic is such an important aspect and so important for the human being to understand, especially the African-American people, to understand that success is a natural process. I know that many people may say, well, you have to work real hard. What's wrong with that? Working hard is not unnatural. You have to work, you have to think, you have to get as much education, you have to get, that's not unnatural. Nothing about the things that people say you have to be successful is unnatural. Learning is a natural process. Working is a natural process. The movement of the body is natural. The seeing from your eyes are natural. The accumulating of knowledge of what you see and what you think is not all natural. All of this is natural. It's not unnatural. What is unnatural is not to participate in those things. What is unnatural is not to be able to think. What is unnatural is not to be able to accumulate knowledge. What is unnatural is not to be able to use your apparatus, your thinking, your hands, arms, your heart, your mind, to participate in the gathering of knowledge and to make that knowledge be useful to you. That's unnatural. But it is natural to succeed. It is natural as breathing. Success is automatic. And only command we have is that unleash the power of your industrious nature and achieve your dream. Now that is the breadth and impact of my first book, to bring that kind of knowledge to the reader, to the thinker. Success is automatic. Don't fear success, and don't go into a dark corner thinking that success is too hard for you to gain, too difficult for you. Treat it like a bright sunlight for you to see, for you to move forward. And I was blessed to write another book as a griot. Most of you know some idea what the griot means. Griot is a person who studies the culture of his people. His people, primarily those closest to him, could be a family, could be a kingdom, could be a society, could be whatever that griot is part of. He studies the culture, its evolution, and all of those type of aspects with the people. And I spent most of my life studying and looking into the African-American culture and its evolution. So it just naturally qualifies me to think in those terms. I don't think in other terms. I'm not a biologist or I'm not an engineer, but I'm a griot, dealing with the development of the African-American people and our evolution, our cultural evolution. And that second book addresses that issue in terms, it's called The River of Gold. That book determines how the African-American people evolved. And it's a novel, but it's a novel written around and based in historical. It is based in the history of the African-American people to help motivate us to see how foreparents have done and achieved and gain that same type of spiritual development in this reality we live in. And of course, my third book was Spirit of Belial, The Community is Born to Human Excellence. That's a book that's centered around much of what we talk about and we hear about in this today's world, especially those of us who come on the teachings and understanding of Imam Mahdi Muhammad and others too, because he made it plain to us that others thought like that. And but it showed how we evolved as a community from the religious aspect all the way back to when we deal with the creation of Adam and Noah and Abraham, all of those figures, all of those symbols, how that we are part of that reference, how we are affected by that. And that's the that shows how the African-American community was born in America, calling the world to human excellence, calling the world to be as best as the human being can be in terms of our relationship with one another. And of course, my fourth book was Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American People. Now, all of these books, you can see them online or library, something of that nature. We try to get information to people about the whole concept of knowledge, because knowledge is the foundation on which we build. And I have another book which brings us to what we are talking about in terms of mental freedom. You and I are part of a world that has been developed long before we came into existence. When we came into, a world that was always up and running. We didn't have to create a new world in that sense because it was here. And society had already developed science and biology and history and things of that nature. So we are in that world. Being in that world is what's shaping us. It shapes our mind. And it's so important for us to understand what is going on in the world today and what is going on in our own mind. Our mind has been shaped by the world that we're in. Our minds have been shaped by the world that came before us. I know when we say inheriting the power of mental freedom, most people say, I am free, my mind is free, but no, not really. Our minds have been shaped from day one by our parents, by our culture, by our community, and by the history that developed all of that. All of that helped shape what we see and what shaped what we think. And it's so important to understand that we were created to operate that way. We were created to absorb everything around us and then be able to put it in a working format that could benefit us in the world we live in. That's the way the human being created. We've taken knowledge, we've taken the creation, we measure it, we think about it, we put it together, then we figure out what is best for us. That's the normal process. But as we know and understand that this world that we live in has not always been in the hands or under the pen of those who had good consciousness, a good conscious mind of behavior for the betterment of humanity. We live in a world that much of it is formed by people who are what is called in some writings predators. Predators meaning that they were predators in terms of financial and political predators. They want to control the masses of people. And they control the masses of people through the media. They control the masses of people through contact, through verbal contact. They control the masses of the people through the way they even build the buildings and shape things is to control the mind of the people. And the design of this is to control the mind that will best serve them. And this is why they produce what they produce. And I know most of us say, I think for myself. Not really. Why do you call yourself black or people of color? Someone told you that. Why do you call a European American a white people? Someone told you that. Why do you refer to the system in that tone, the system? Who told you this was a system? Someone told you that and trained you in how to respond in that. You know, there's a scripture that talks about how man is controlled and how man can be controlled. I don't know everyone who's listening or not, whether your belief in God or not, but you have come in contact with those who do have a belief. Either in God is either weak or strong or can be incorrect, but it's something that they have taught you from day one. And we've spent most of our lives trying to either adjust to that or get away from that and try to find out a better source that can give us more for our lives. We are being controlled primarily now by a world that came thousands of years ago. We are being controlled by their knowledge. They wrote, when they began to write the knowledge on about what they thought about God and the devil and things of that nature, they put it in their literature. Once man was able to get beyond just passing ideas and concepts verbally, we start writing things down. Even in early writing, you can see in early writing that we call it even the pictorial kind of writing, the stick figures. You see, that's not a reality that they put there, but the reality that they found in their mind and the best way they can express it. And that has been passed down from generation to generation and affects today. This is why it's so important to understand why history has so much information that's necessary for today's world to grasp and understand. Because if you don't know and you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And if you repeat history in the method that those who came before us designed for us to repeat it and be their puppets, then that's what we will take. Do you think it's just coincidental that young men are wearing their pants that pulled down and their caps turned around backwards? Who did that? Who told them to turn their hats around backwards? What is it that causes a young lady to go shopping for a particular blouse or a particular way of dress? Where did she see that from? Did she go to draw it on her own drawing pad, or did she come up with her own idea from her own creativity? Some do, but the majority don't. The majority follow the way that is presented to them, and they pick from that way the best they think is for themselves. And all the time, they're being guided and directed by another mind that is designed to control them. How do you think fashion just changes from season to season? Once you have an overcoat, you can use that overcoat in the wintertime, and when it come again, you can use it again. Once you have summer clothes, unless you just pick it up and lose the weight so dramatically, if you're not doing that, your clothes that you had before, you can wear. Someone told you it was out of style. Someone said that stage is gone. They told you that's not in style anymore. You had to wear this or that. And all they were interested in was not the clothes you were wearing, but the money that's in your pocket. And they convinced you that the clothes you wore for the winter of last winter is not the style, although it's warm enough, and they would tell you it's not even warm enough because they dressed you like that. So they would fill the stores up and convince you that you need to get something different and make you want it so badly that you would feel like you're out of sorts if you don't get it. You'll feel like you just can't move if you don't get it. And unfortunately, some people are directed that way, and they really can't even afford to get it. They have to deny themselves something. Do you know there are men and women who don't even have children because they think it's too expensive? There's men and women who are married, and they see the expense you have to raise a child. And they come to the conclusion that we want so many more material things in life that the people are encouraging us to get. We can't have any more children. So they are convinced not to have children. They are convinced so much so that they even make themselves sterile. Not to have children, both men and women, not just women do that, men too. Because they believe the sight that is given to them. Because they believe the message comes from the host, those who are sending messengers. We have to be very careful about the messages we receive as to who is that messenger and where is that messenger getting his message from to bring us. Everybody that has a message is not necessarily good for us. And what we have to become conscious of is that fact. Girl now, that there's a possibility that we can begin to control our own mind. I know that sounds a little off to some of you, but it's the truth. We are not in the control now, but in the position to get in the control. The way we speak, the way we write, the way we think, all been shaped by us. The words we use, as we mentioned a while back, been shaped by others for us. The conscious mind operates on the basis of what it thinks, what it sees, what it feels. But there's another aspect of the human mind. And that other aspect is the subconscious mind. It's the kind, you're not aware of it, but we all have it. You're not aware of it. It influences. It influences the way we think. It influences the way we think consciously and the way we respond to life consciously. The subconscious mind has that power. And if we're unaware of what's in the subconscious mind and how it operates, it will control us. It will be what causes our conscious mind to operate. Now, this is all about, I know many of you know and understand that this is about religious thinking, philosophical thinking, psychological thinking. But all of that is part of the creation. Those of you who done a great deal of study, you know that the creator, whether you're a Hebrew, whether you're Muslim, or whether you're Christian, it tells you that the creator, the God, is the creator of all things. There's not a God competing with God. So what is going on then? What is the controlling factor? Controlling factor goes back to what we talked about earlier when we talked about success is as natural as breathing. It goes back to that factor that the human being has given the freedom to make up our own mind. We have been given the freedom to make a choice for ourselves. And most of you know that, can come to that conclusion just by reading your text. Your text said, on the day of judgment, your God will judge you. And it would judge you. And you don't have anybody to step in your place. That is telling us that we have the power to make our decisions. That is telling us that our behavior can be controlled by our conscious mind. And our conscious mind can control our behavior to the degree that any judgment that comes, we possibly would be in the good light of that judgment rather than the dark light of that judgment. But if we, if our subconscious has been affected by the world that we're in, some, as we said a while ago, talked a little about the predators. Those are the people who set those concepts and ideas. And most of you who have your religious text, it talks about it being the devil or Shaitan operating in the place where the human being can't see him. That's in the subconscious mind. You can't see in your subconscious mind. But the subconscious mind affects your thinking. It influences. Then this is one of the things that is mentioned in the Quran. It says that Shaitan said to the God, to Allah, I didn't tell him I was there, God, the creator. I just called and they came. All he has is influence. And where can influence from, the human being from, is the subconscious mind. How do we prevent the subconscious mind from interfering with our thinking so much that we take on that behavior? It's through practice. It's through repetition. It's through doing something regularly enough that our subconscious mind will not have the power over our conscious mind anymore. This is how we see a person to be an alcoholic one time. And if they get control of their conscious mind long enough, they can overcome that which is holding them back, that drug or that behavior. Because the conscious mind is actually stronger than the mind. This is the way we were created. How else could we be judged if the conscious mind is not stronger than the subconscious mind? And the subconscious mind influences us. Then we always call foul. When the judge comes to judge us, says, oh, wait a minute. I didn't have control over my mind. Sure, I got a conscious mind, but I didn't have control over that. Subconscious mind. You created a subconscious mind to retain things for me, but that some taking place to cause me to do these things, I'm not responsible. You know, they have in court, in the legal system, they say ignorance is not a defense. But fortunately for human beings, our intent weighs heavier, even than our actions. So, but we do have to be conscious of that. So we have been given the power to get our conscious mind so it will control the subconscious. But if you don't know what you're trying to work with, if you don't know why you call yourself black people, if you don't know why you call the European American white people, if you don't know why you call yourself people of color, and if you just look at that thinking, your mind will tell you that does not make sense. People are not color. Colors, black, white, yellow, green, red are colors in a crayon box. They are not a idea, a concept to tell us where the place of origin of a human being is from. You have to how to determine your place of origin is how you identify a human being. If a human being is from Europe, he's a European. If a human being is from Africa, he's an African. Or North America, he's a North American. This is the determining factor. Where we come from, our place of origin. And in that place of origin, we find, and those of you who have followed the teachings of Imam Mahdi Muhammad, he made clear, and so does science, that our appearance, the way we look, comes from the earth in which we live in, the sunlight, the food, all of that. And then that gene that is formed is carried into the next generation. So it's a matter of controlling the main factor, our mind. Controlling the consciousness of our mind. Fortunately for the Muslim and others too, we are encouraged to pray. We are encouraged to make what we call salat. And I know many Christians, because I was born a Christian, are encouraged to pray. I was born Baptist. They have their particular things to do. And others have their things to do. And everything is designed from the religious sense of point of view, is designed to encourage man to develop habits and develop the kind of progress that habits cause that comes from doing something that's correct more than you do something that's incorrect. And then eventually your behavior will come to that which is correct more so than that which is not correct. People would think of saving lives rather than taking lives. Do you think for one moment that what's going on over there in Palestine could ever go on a human being? I'm talking about the human being now. That the human being that is intended to have human excellence was in charge. Do you think they would kill those thousands and thousands of people? Only thing would do that is something that's influenced by Shaitan. Do you think Adolf Hitler, during his reign, if he was in the human sense, do you think he would have massacred all those people? No, he wouldn't have. He had adopted a concept of most called fascists, the idea of putting the state and the idea of putting self before the people, and especially before the individual. Now, we see something of that taking place now in the Zionist thinking. Zionists, don't mix, I encourage you, don't mix up Zionism with Judaism. Don't mix it up with Israel, Israelites, not Israel. Israel now is governed by the Zionists. And there are many Jews in over in the East that are against that. There's some here in this country. They're having big marches against that kind of attitude. Why would you mow down people, thousands of people, if you are saying because they killed 100 or 200 people, after you killed 200 or 300 of their people, then that should be over? So they're using that as an excuse to take over land. That's a fascist kind of thinking. That's not a democracy that they claim. That's not Judaism that they claim. They claim that's Judaism. It's not. You can read the first test, the Old Testament in the Bible, and you won't see that. You will see something taking place that, if it's directed in a certain way, it can become something very devastating. This is why when we receive Quran as the last revelation, because the first revelation as far as the Abrahamic faith is concerned was Torah. And they got a lot of their influence from Egypt. And then once they were able to understand what that influence was, it was able to come into some understanding, knowledge enough that the Torah could come from that effort. And then after that, surely those who came after that began to write other books and came up with the Bible and their way. And it produced a way of thinking that wasn't quite. Both of them involved the human being in a way that the human being was not trying to strive for human excellence, but the human being was trying to identify himself as being better than someone else. The Jews had adopted the faith that they are the chosen people of God, and all the people are supposed to bow down to them. The Christians took up the same idea. That you in any church would find that they would tell you, well, you can't get to God unless you believe as we believe. They tell Christians to tell Christians that. Because that's an old trick, an old scheme that came thousands and thousands of years ago to take advantage of what Scripture had revealed earlier. And this is why the Quran said that they talking about those who what Imam Muhammad called the Yaqub, Jacobites. They changed the book. They put words behind their back. They didn't tell the people the words were even there. They manipulated it. And Christians got hold of that. And so you know what the Christians have in their understanding. It has to work with this. Now, does that mean that they are in the dark all the time? No, it doesn't mean that. It means if they follow that which is created in the human being in the first place, which is human excellence. The human being has in them that same power to make the human being successful, as we talked earlier about success is automatic. That same ingredient is in every human being. It is overshadowed by our subconscious. If we can learn and understand how to control our subconscious, then we can learn and control that essence that is created in the human being from the very beginning, and that then will become more dominant in our behavior. And we would have a different world. We would have a much better world. The world can change, and the world is in the process of changing. But that has to happen first. People have to become conscious. They have to become conscious of that factor. Not just that we just shake hands and say, okay, we're friends. Not that. We're not just a goody-goody thing. It's beyond that. It's beyond behavior. Sometimes we allow people to become in a bad scene because we stand by. Look how many Christians stood by to watch Africans during slavery in America being hanged. And not just that, but you go through and you find that people did this to each other. What kind of human excellence is that? That means it was in them, but they refused to accept it. They wouldn't accept the fact that they were doing wrong. And every human being gets a sign that don't do that. That's not good. Don't do that or do this. But if we don't listen to it, it goes into another stage. The mind. And that's what we are talking about. Most of the times, when we say the mind, people want to separate it to psychology, or psychology and sociology and different things of that nature, and say that's not religious or that's not the mind that the creator created. But it is. There's no such thing as sociology. There's no such thing as psychology. There's no thing as biology. There's no none of these things without the creation. Without the creator creating it to evolve, to become part of the family of the human being. Psychology is as natural to you, again, as drinking water. Psychology, sociology, all the sciences, biology, all of that. In fact, those of you who are Muslim, you should know your history. It tells you that most of the science that came into the world, in this modern-day world today, came by way of Islam as the Moors went into Europe, science there. The Europeans was living in the Dark Ages until the Moors took science there. And they became, and once they and stayed there for 600 to 800 years, giving them science and the understanding of the rational thinking. Once that happened, then the European was able to come out of Europe. They no longer feared coming out of Europe, getting in the water, thinking there was big, giant monsters in the water that would gobble them up. They called dragons and so forth and so on. Their mind was all messed up because they had not engaged enough knowledge to think rationally. They thought of all the mystical things. And after the Moors left Europe, the European then had the power to use their mind and develop their mind with the knowledge and the technology and everything that was given by the Moors. And look at what they've done in the world. Most of this world we see built up came as a result of that. Now, I know some say, well, there's a lot of bad Europeans. Not all of them. We can't blame all of them for a few. I don't know. We can take that back. There's a few now. There's a whole lot. But it can't blame all of them. But they have the power, too, to to come to the right way. They had the power just the same as any of us or anybody on this planet Earth has the power to follow that nature in which God has created within them to do good and to do good for their brother. See, it's not just a matter of doing good for yourself. You also have to do for your brother. You see, this is the way the human excellence works. Human excellence works as a hand and not just feed yourself, but feed those around you, and then you go out to the others. And that prevents the situation we have in some parts of the world where people don't even have shoes to wear, don't have food to eat. That wouldn't even exist with these billionaires and trillionaires in this world. It wouldn't even exist. But they have built up a world, an empire, that they don't want to break down. And some of them probably wouldn't know how to break it down. It's so dynamic nowadays, they probably wouldn't know how to start it. But one place they can start is in their own heart. And I do believe some of them are doing that. I do believe that some of these very wealthy people in the world have come to some conclusion that they have to do more about helping humanity than they have done in the past. Now, certainly some of you may have a lot more evidence of that than myself, but I believe is a situation that come in place. But I want to give you an opportunity because we're going to get into the meat of our program this evening, and I want to give you an opportunity to voice your opinion about either what you've heard or what you think, and we just ask you to be conscious of the time. The way you do that is push the one on your phone. You push the one on your phone, I will see you there, and I will be able to comment, or you can ask questions. Well, we have a number of people, so everyone will get a chance if you, I don't see any hands. So with that, we're going to take a short break. Then we come back, I'm going to introduce you to our guests, and they're going to be able to take us to the next level of this idea about how to build wealth, and you're never too old. Let's take one at least before we go. Caller at 914-434.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. My name is Saeed Muhammad Reed, calling out from New York.
How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. All praise be to Allah. Doing great. Yeah, you know, Yom Raj Muhammad said, you know, we could change this situation overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, man. I'm told the same thing. All we got to do is be obedient to Allah.
Mm-hmm.
His messenger and the leadership right. that God gives us, be obedient. Change
mm-hmm.
overnight. Now, we could do like, how did Chinese get so big and powerful?
Mm-hmm.
Just because what you were speaking about earlier about our dress. Who give us this idea of what to dress, what clothes to put on, all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see them, they all just in one outfit, one uniform. Anytime
mm-hmm.
we see Chinese, we see they are in one uniform. Everybody got on the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We can do the same thing. We change overnight. All we have to do is get our men and women to stop shopping. Stop buying. But we all, I know I have enough, anyone that's probably over 40 years old, got enough suits. You don't need any more clothes. You don't need any more suits.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need any more shoes. Same with the women, our sisters. You don't need any more dresses, skirts,
mm-hmm.
blouses. Just stop. Don't buy anything else. Wear what you have.
Mm-hmm.
You may feel a little uncomfortable, uncomfortable. From the beginning. She was so old, she's wearing the same thing. Well, he's wearing the same thing. Yeah, do that for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Change the whole thing. That's right, buy nothing else.
That's right.
We change overnight. Just stop buying clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, you're absolutely correct in that, brother. And I know that I believe we have a great a number of sisters on here. And wonder, we're not saying these things just aiming at the female. This involves male too. And,
yeah, said the male. Yeah, the men too. Yeah, the male too.
Yeah,
right.
It involves all of us. There mm-hmm. people out there buying sneakers for $300 or $400.
Mm-hmm.
And they already have sneakers. There are some people who take half of their house and take these big rooms and put their sneakers all in those rooms. Hundreds and thousands of dollars, rather than have another child. You see, the scripture says, be fruitful and multiply. But the schemers don't want us to think that way, because then they can't sell us more shoes. They can't sell us more clothes, because it takes money to raise children. You know, most people don't realize how important that is. They read it in the Bible. But they read it in the Quran. But they don't really see the importance. They read it and keep going. The idea that the people have to be fruitful and multiply guarantees the human being, human race, in terms of our survival. And the idea of ignoring that is actually a way of, if a catastrophe comes, the human being becomes less and less on this planet. You find that you don't see many Native Americans anymore. There are a lot of people who are civilizations that have disappeared. But the fact of the matter is, they have been instructed to spend their money on products and things of that nature, not to build their money and raise families. Raising families and having children is the most important thing you can do. Now, some of us who are listening to this, many of us are probably too old to even consider such a thing. But we can, you could also adopt, but adopt means the child is already here. But we're talking primarily to this next generation, the younger generation. It's important to not to put cars over having children, not to put clothes over having children. Have as many as you can, and you will be able to afford them if you're not spending all that money on all these different cars and the different clothes, and it thousands and millions and billions of dollars goes into these industries. You see, but you're absolutely right, brother. You're absolutely right. Okay, if we have any other questions or comments, let's go to this break one right quick, and then we're going to have to get with our guest because he has some great news for us.
Right. God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, we have a very important guest coming on. I want to give him the time to tell us about what he does and what he do to help us. And the old saying goes that we say you can, and we're talking about money, in fact, that's what we're talking about now, and wealth. And it's build wealth with knowledge at any age. This is what we're looking at. And this brother, he's a broker, Brother Kareem Green, he's a broker for the United Healthcare. He's a financial services representative from Mass Mutual of New Jersey. He's a branch office manager of Farmers Insurance, Farmers Insurance, and former licensed insurance sales agent for Liberty Mutual. Student at that was some time ago here, my notes that he was bringing up on that at Union County College. He also studied at Union County College, and he studied business administration at Essex County College. And he went to Malcolm X Chabal's High School here in Newark. He lives in Newark. He's from Newark. And I want to bring him on, and I want him to tell you something about himself and how his knowledge can best help you to go further. And remember, he's saying that age, so age is not a real problem. So some of us who retirement, we have been in retirement long enough to know how important it is to learn about these things. So I want to bring him on and let him tell us about himself and how he can best help us. Brother Kareem. Kareem Green.
Salaam across the Talayu of Erkadu.
Walaikum as-salam, brother. How are you doing?
Allahu Akbar. Tayyab. It's a pleasure to be on the show tonight. And I was honored when, you know, you requested that I come on and speak. And subhanAllah, I'm really excited about this. So thank you for having me.
Alhamdulillah. Well,
Tell
us a little bit. I didn't all the information, but tell us a little bit about yourself. And then go on and tell us what you can do.
Yeah, mashallah. Well, my name is Kareem Al-Bashir Green. What I wanted to share with you, I had started in 2019 my company, Cage Agency, with a K, is Kareem Al-Bashir Green Enterprise. In Arabic, it means the generous giver of good news, you know, the servant of the generous giver of good news. And I had set my mission and my goal out to eliminate poverty. I actually put that in my business statement, you know, and showing people how to generate income and create generational wealth, because that's the goal that I'm doing. But I was born and raised in Newark. I'm 43 years old, married, homeowner, two kids, the older, 23 years old. And now it's all about building the enterprise. Now I have been setting them and preparing them to run the agency after Allah called me back, you know, and the whole goal in setting it up is about structure, just like how we go get our birth certificates and our social security cards and our driver's licenses and our passports. We do that on an individual level. And one of the things about income is that they have structured the United States of America to tax us on our individual income that we earn on our Social Security number.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we all been living for, you know, years of our life. Instead of taking on some of the practices that they have done, and some of the blueprints that I use is some of the Rockefeller blueprints that they have already structured and how they create a trust. And they allow for their trust to own everything and to have life policies on each family member that is born. And one of the methods that they use is when they are 15 days old, they buy a million-dollar life policy on a kid. Mm-hmm. And allow for the trust to be the owner and payer of that policy. And every family member becomes a trustee of this trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they allow for their wealth to come. Because now all of the income that they're generating is under a corporation, which is your trust account. It's not taxed to you. So a lot of the dollars that you earn can be taxed write-off because they are business expenses. So mm-hmm. all of the family members, instead of going to Wells Fargo and instead of going to Bank of America, they go to this family trust and request funds for whatever venture they decide they need funds for. And I allow to keep the money inside the trust. So what, you know, allow for us to do is to put our house, my car, my phone bills, my internet, all that under that. So those expenses becomes tax write-offs at the end of the year. That's the structure mm-hmm. and that we all have to really, you know, that we should all play in and incorporate in ourselves and allowing our kids to become employees. They just changed the tax law that we can pay our kids $13,850 a year tax-free, where we can write it off individually as a tax write-off because we're employing our kids, but they don't have to pay taxes on that income that they earn. And these are strategies that you can put money into and allow it to grow for you and instead of paying taxes on it. And a lot of this income can be placed in an account which is called the IRA account. And when you fund it at an early age, and you can contribute to it just one time and allow it to mature over the 18, 20 years, and as they become an adult, they already have at least a quarter to a half $1 million of money already set for them once they come of age, if they allow that money to mature. You know, these are strategies.
Can I ask you a question? Yes. I don't want to interrupt you, but I just want to, before we get too far, can grandparents do what you said parents should do with their children in terms of building a trust form? How you could, what about
grandparents? Yes.
Could grandparents do that for their grandchildren?
Yes, that is the intent, to even take all of your assets because you want to do a pay down once you get to a certain age anyway. And the best strategy to use is to trust, to take all your assets from your house to your 401k and allow your trust to be the owner so you individually don't own these things.
Mm-hmm.
And now you qualify for the state benefits. You know, but you know you got to do that 5-year pay down.
And that's, for certain that's people, that's, and that's passed down to your offsprings or your children.
Yeah. And let me tell you the best part. Without mm-hmm. probate. mm-hmm. Without probate. Wow. Yes. You know, so it's now you don't have to prove these are your assets.
Could you explain that a little bit about the, when you
say it again?
Can you explain that a
little
bit?
Probate. Okay, mm-hmm. okay. What that means is this. If a person of age owns a piece of property that's, you know, worth $500,000, and now, you know, a law called them back, and for that person to pass that house that they own down, they have to go through a process which is called probate, where they have to prove to the state that you're the heir of this property. And now that you have to pay the prosecutors and pay all of this, I mean, pay for a lawyer and pay for the paperwork in order to prove that you are the heir of this property.
Mm-hmm.
Upon a death, even if you have a will, things of that nature, it still can be disputed.
Oh. Wow, that's something. So in other words, forming a trust, even if you form a trust and you can have your grandchildren and when you pass, you can have that your grandchild will be the heir of that trust.
Yes. Correct.
And they won't have to pay the probate taxes and those kind of things like they would in a cash deposit.
Well, CD,
you can't live in a CD, but if you have your property, it's your own property, you're living in it. But yet you have it in a trust to be passed down to you. I guess that would be one of the ways.
Passed down to the next trustee. Yeah, the CDs, those are just investment vehicles that you'll utilize. You know, CDs and bonds and stocks and things of that nature. You know, but the strategy is mostly because the whole goal is to avoid paying all them taxes each year. And you set up structure your life, you structure your family household as a business, because everything down to your laundry detergent should be a business expense, you know, if you structure it properly. And even with the household, you want to allow for each person to be selected as, you know, in a position that they can get paid for, and allow the trust to be their employers, you know, and use that same structure that they use as businesses for our family structure. And then people will produce more, because the more kids they produce, the more money the trust can make. So that would be the solution to that, because now we'll be able to, like you said, take care of the kids. We'll have funded, because the trust will fund all of their needs for a lifetime.
That's not just fascinating, but that's very.
But what are the steps?
What are the steps that one would have to take? Let's say like myself or my age. What are some of the steps we have to take if we haven't done this before? We don't know how to do it. What are some of the steps we have to take to come and see you?
You can see me. I have a whole team of people that I will introduce you to that will help you go through the different structure of it and explain all the necessary documents that need to be made. Because just like how you go get your birth certificate and your social security card, these are the same type of processes you're going to be doing for your business. But now you just want to structure it for all of your expenses to let let your business own it. But it's very simple. You know, it's paperwork. Of course, it costs to set up a trust. It varies between, you know, 18 to, you know, 3,000, depending on how much assets you do have or how big of a family you do have. And, you know, something like that you will also incorporate after you set the trust up, because now the trust has to be a business. Because the trust is more just a legal document, and you can do it two ways. And I have to give shout out to Sister Howard Kareem, because she is the funeral director that also has all of the tools. You can also link with Sister Howard Kareem. She has a whole planner for preparing ourselves for this. And one of the things I like to share is, like, we all got to get our paperwork together. You know, and that's where we have to structure our whole livelihood as a business, so we won't get stuck in there, you know, rid itself of taxes like that. We structure it this way. But yeah, those are the two ways you can get started. The other thing I just wanted to share, because me as a broker, I started in insurance back in 2008 with doing healthcare for Health First. And you know, that's when I seen that I could become a licensed agent. And then I transferred over to Liberty Mutual, and I was with them from 2013 up to about since I started my business. And they just had me mainly doing the property and casualty for people who need auto insurance, homeowners insurance, renters insurance for their apartments, and, you know, umbrella policies, and also life insurance policies. Until I discovered that I can incorporate myself and become my own Liberty Mutual. So once I discovered that, I acted on it and incorporated myself as an entity and got my business license as an insurance producer, so I can contract my license and contract my business with the companies like United Healthcare, Farmers, Transamerica, AIG. So now I am a broker that I represent the people now. I make sure that I compare all of the rates to make sure that you get the best rates, instead of me working for the company and making sure I just put you in whatever seat they got for you. I can put you with your company that's going to suit your needs based on your needs, and that's going to help give you the best rates. So those are things that are special now, and I also am building a team and are encouraging people, and I have a whole system that will help people become licensed insurance producers from ages 18 and up. where you can get licensed and do this same process. I have training that I do every week. I have a team of people that train on how to, you know, make calls, how to get licensed, how to talk to the customers. And this is worldwide, not just in New Jersey. I have in all the states, I have team members that will help assist the people in that area as well. And
that
brings
up my question about next state. Because this program gets people from all the states listening in. Can you help? You just answered my question in a way. You can help them also, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Help them become licensed agents. And one of the things that I love about it the most, that it's called residual incomes, where the companies that I've been for this past, since 2019, been accumulating my book of business. So all the customers that I put into my book of business, as long as they stay there and, you know, continue having their service through me, of course, the company continues to pay me the residual income per person that's enrolled every month. So now the more people you have in your book of business, the more monthly residual income you receive each month. So the whole goal is us sticking together in the community, and instead of people, once they turn 65 and go into these hotlines and calling them, they go within the brothers and sisters within the community, because that money will stay in the community, because that licensed agent will help, you know, fund this program.
Brother Kareem, we have quite a number of people on here. But I want to make sure everybody get a chance to ask their questions or voice their opinions or whatever while we have you on.
Right.
Those of you who have a question, we're going to take another quick break, and then as soon as we come back, just push the one on your phone, and we'll bring you into the conversation.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preacher Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab, here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for having me.
Any those of you have questions for Brother Green Green on what he has talked about so far, or anything you have in mind relevant to financial planning, or something to do with yourself or your family, just push the one on your phone and then come in and ask him the question. I think that, brother, you've been in before, Brother Sharif, I think that was your name.
Oh, yes, this is Muhammad Sharif again. Imam Saeed.
Yeah. Did you have a question?
Would he kind of explain, some people don't know about residual income. Go into a little more detail on residual income.
Residual income? Residual income is served like when the company United Healthcare that I represent has a pay schedule that we contract with them with, that per person that we enroll as a licensed insurance producer, they pay us $500 up front for that 12-month time frame. Okay, now each year, if that person decides to keep that plan, the company will continue each year pay us $350 per year. So they would divide that $350 for that into 12. So every month on a particular pay schedule, they will pay out that person's policy renewal. And the renewal is considered that residual income because it comes every month.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it makes sense. Yes. Similar to, muscle-level marketing. Similar, right?
Yes, it is, because that's how the insurance companies contract us, and that's how they pay us. And as long as we stay within the guidelines, because they have a CMS guidelines, which is catered to managing the seniors, making sure that they are not, scammed and things of that nature. So we have every year as a licensed agent, because I sell the health insurance license, that allows me to, take the training each month to make sure I explain these benefits to them properly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But as an agent, that's how they pay us on the other side.
Residual income is
money that you get every month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's residual income.
Now, let me remind, don't wait to get down to the last month and start asking questions, and everybody will get their questions in. If you have a question,
yes.
Push the one on your phone so you get to your question. Very important subject we're dealing with, because finances is something that African-American people, especially in our group, we have really missed the opportunity to be able to advance, because we say the last ones find out about something that happened in our case a great deal. But if you have a question, now is the time to ask it, because he's the one that can answer those questions for you. And it's just no question too small or no question too big. You got the man who does that. This is what he does. And even if you're out of state, you don't have to be in New Jersey. You can be anywhere in the country, possibly the world, anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
And he can be able to give you some advice. He's pointing you in the direction you need to go here to answer right here on the spot. So I see a lot of people. So ask the questions. I have some questions I wanted to ask, but I don't want to just take up all the time and you miss the opportunity. But I'm going to get my question in there. Now, what I asked you before about grandparents. Is there something that's in line with this trust fund that senior person like myself can go into to help supplement our income?
Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying.
How would that work?
You will come up with your strategy of, how you want to structure it, because there are a few ways of going about it. Like, there's a such thing called a revocable trust and another one called the irrevocable trust. And one, revocable trust means you can change it any time.
Mm-hmm.
Irrevocable, you cannot make any changes once it's set. So, you want to structure
what does
it
that
in a
mean?
Manner.
Layman terms. What does that mean?
Layman term.
For instance,
you got married. You have your wife, you're married, and y'all set up your trust account. If you set up a irrevocable trust with you and your wife, that trust cannot be altered. So even if you moved on to your next wife, that fortunate. But if you still set up an irrevocable trust, if you set up a revocable trust, that you can change it. You can change it where you can go on and change the name of the, you know, the new spouse. That makes sense?
Let me ask another question similar to that, but I understand what you're saying now. But let's say, let me take another question here. Someone else give them a chance. Area code 314-677.
You know, I was listening to the conversation. My name is Pianti.
Yes.
And the gentleman is absolutely right. I had a business in the St. Louis area, and I could take my business credit cards and buy my kids $100 worth of groceries.
Mm-hmm.
The most they would pay on it, if they had to, if they did, they paid their tax rates, which would be about $15. And the entire $100 would be written off on the company.
That's right.
A $10 million trust, to be somewhat accurate, pays about $16,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And people that's in business, that's something that they should aspire to do for their kids.
Yes.
Open up a $10 million minimum, if you can, trust fund.
Mm-hmm.
And if interest rates is as low as 2% a year in that trust, that's going to pay you about $200,000 a year, which equates to about $16,000 a month. If you can't live off of $16,000 a month, I don't know what to tell you.
But let me tell everyone a sexy move, I like to call it. A sexy move is for the people who have good credit, right? They can go out, get a line of credit for $10 million, $20 million, put that into the trust, and just pay that card off every month from the money that you're making off the trust.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and pay it off that way. That's one of the sexy moves I like to call it.
I never bought no insurance for my vehicles. I bought a bond for the financial responsibility amount that the state required. I didn't buy it. And then I would pay toward to an account what I would have been paying if I had got a car insurance. So it went all the way around.
I love it. So, I love that move.
So that's the way that people, the opportunity is there. You just got to listen and work toward sacrifice and work toward providing those type of avenues for your children. My grandson, my latest sibling, I paid for his college all out of my pocket. After the first year, I hardly paid anything because he had scholarships. I made him take the hard subject and major in the hard subject, that is engineering.
Powerful.
So I just wanted to bring that out. Thank you very much for your information.
Hopefully
people would heed to it.
Yes, thank you, because you're a great example, and they needed to hear it as it's being lived. So that's a powerful thing. Thank you, brother.
That's
all about strategies. It's about being intentional and strategic with our time, energy, and money. You know, if we took all of the energy, like how you said, they distract us with everything. If we sat down and plant out the lifestyle we would like to live, we have all of the tools at our hands and all of the necessary information. Because I'll be getting on my daughter a lot. I'll be like, wow, you just don't understand. I wish I had this technology at that age where I could just Google something. And now they make it even better. You can AI it and get all the necessary tools and techniques on how to do anything you decide to think of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we just have to know how to use these tools to strategize our life to make our life easier. One of the books that I read too, because I got all three of your books too, brother. So I'm still in study of them.
Thank you.
So I don't just read it through. I like to study it. Yeah. And moreover, one of the books I also read was called The 4-Hour Work Week. We have to find, you know, strategies on where. If I know I'm worth $500 an hour, why would I spend my time doing a $10 an hour job?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I will delegate anything that's under $500. And now that allows for me to spend my time making the $500 an hour. Mm-hmm. You know, so those are some of the strategies we have to sit down and find out where's our energy maximized. Where what are we doing with ourselves where we get the maximum amount of energy and make the maximum amount of dollars doing it. And that's what you ask yourself, and structure it that way. You know, and find ways to delegate other tasks. That's all about strategy, but I know we're on the time, but I appreciate this opportunity. And my number is, you can contact me. My phone number is 973-380-8365. Mm-hmm. My email address is Cage Agency with a K. That's K-A-G-E Agency at gmail.com. And I also, you know, my Facebook, Instagram, our page is Cage Agency with a K. And it stands for Kareem Al-Bashir Green Enterprise, a generous giver of good news.
That's right. That's
so.
Continue, brother.
May Allah reward you
for
allowing this patience. And you can get in touch with me, you know, through any of those forms. You can call me, email. Say it again.
Can you get a little closer to your microphone?
I'm here. Yeah, you can reach me, you know, via cell phone, you know, email, you know, Facebook, Instagram, you know, TikTok, the website. But moreover, you can reach out to me via text or just call me up at 973-380-8365. Email is Cage Agency with a K, K-A-G-E, agency at gmail.com, and Cage Agency on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and my website as well.
So what's on the horizon for those who are like one brother came on, he's already had business ventures and he's doing some things himself. What's on the horizon that maybe is not really yet, but you can see it coming? What should we be looking out for?
Well, me, I'm part of multiple organizations now. One of the ones where I ran into you just recently, we was at the Islamic Journal, and we have our clothing line called Iced Impressive Wear by Ibn Suleiman. And we was first male models to be part of the, Islamic Journal fashion show. So I'm a part of 100 Men in Suits. You know, we are based out of Newark, New Jersey. One of our faces is Do It All Dupree, which is the councilman of West Ward in North New Jersey. He's the face of 100 Men in Suits. I have that organization established. I'm also a part of Islamic Cooperation, which is a reentry program for the returning citizens that's located on 32 Prince Street in Newark as well, where the brothers and sisters coming home from prison, they need to get their IDs, need a job, need a place to stay. They go here every Thursday night at 6 on 32 Prince Street to come and get these resources, to get clothes, food down there. And I'm part of Islamic Cooperative, which is a leg of that Returning Citizens program. And next year we plan on getting some big grants to help fund the Returning Citizens for the male and the females. And, starting next year too, one of the other business ventures that I'm a part of is housing, over in New York, Yonkers, the immigrants, and I look forward to having that government contract too. So yes, a lot of great things, looking forward to it, and looking forward to help educate more people, helping them be a part of this movement that we are part of. And allowing us to all union, because I like to look at us like Voltron, where when we all come together, we all more powerful than anything. So that's what I plan on bringing in for the next year, and just looking forward to helping people grow their business, and look forward and training them how to, set up the trust, how to set up an insurance policy, how to, search for building up business line of credit and your personal line of credit. And these are the techniques that we should start focusing and putting our energy into so we can just make money by sitting down without going to work.
Right.
And like, yeah.
That's, well, well, let's get, remind you all who have questions. We're getting ready to close out. So if you're going to ask questions, push the one on your phone. We'll be able to bring you in. You can ask a question. Before we close out, give us a little bit about how we can get in touch with you. Somebody out of state. Okay, let's say we have somebody in Georgia who's listening to us. What should they do? How could they get in touch with you?
Same details. Same details that you just call my number, email me, text me, Instagram me, the website. They can contact me via Cage Agency with a K, K-A-G-E Agency, at gmail.com. And my telephone number is 973-380-8365. You can text or call me. And, I look forward to really assisting and look forward to be coming back as a returning guest to help spread the word.
Well, it seems as though what you have is valuable information, and it's the kind of information that can sometimes the people on the program could even participate in what you're doing at your offices, and so maybe it can become part of some of those classes to
that's true.
Their knowledge of what they can do.
I forget that the location. If you want to come to the office, I have an office located in Elizabeth, New Jersey, right there next to Stop and Shop on Newark Avenue, 740 Newark Avenue in Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
That's also, you can come to my office and we can have a meeting. So that's 740 North Avenue in Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Okay, well, we certainly thank you for coming in and giving us that information. And before, I just want to remind you all, too, that we just want to remind you about, we have a program coming up after this around 7 o'clock, we're going to have the courtship and marriage. That's due at that time. And we're here every Tuesday, 5 to 7, inheriting the power of mental freedom. Now, for those of you who wasn't able to catch the first part of the program, we just want to remind you again the importance of concentration, concentrating our mind and energies on our own conscious mind, bringing our mind conscious and doing those things we know to be correct and put them in the correct position so that our subconscious, the things that have been put in our mind by the cultures and society before, we be able to rectify that problem. Additionally, the African American has a dual problem. It's not just that the culture we're in deceives us or gets us to do certain things that benefit it and may not benefit us, but we are living under a culture that is not designing the culture for our program, our benefit. The African design program, the way it designs its program and culture and set up its cultural base is to do just the opposite for the African-American people. I was looking at a program with Tiger Woods when he was a young man, and you hear, those of you who don't know who Tiger Woods is, he was an African-American golfer, young man, who made big, everybody must have heard of Tiger Woods. But anyhow, this program was talking about Tiger Woods. He was saying that his he was taught since he was a little boy, about 8, 13 years old, that he should try to win. Every time he came to any kind of golf course, he should try to win and be. He would ask the question, "What's the record? What's the golf? What's the record for this course?" And he was trying to set a new record. And the European that was asking, European American who was asking the question, and said, "Don't you think that's kind of vain?" He took the opportunity not to encourage Tiger Woods, but to discourage him. And we find that also. And those of you who read Malcolm X's biology, you see, he was done the same way when he was in school, elementary school, I believe it was. And he wanted to be something very important, like a lawyer. And his guidance counselor, his teacher, told him, no, I want to be a carpenter, do something with your hands, do good with your hands. That's the kind of culture we're in. You see, that same culture that we're in, a European American would say some of those things, either what Tiger Woods said or what Malcolm X said, and the person or the guidance would encourage them to move forward, encourage them to, yes, yeah, good idea. You probably can do that. And it's the same identical culture, but the way they treat, now, and the way that culture responds to us is in a negative fashion. They see us, I think it was last week or week before last, someone asked a question, or the question came up, maybe it was another one of my talk shows, someone came up and said, what about all European people don't think all African Americans are ignorant? They can't think they're ignorant or think they're would want to see harm, and the brother was correct on that. But the problem is believing that. The problem is not so much being correct and saying, okay, all Europeans are not bad. But the problem with that is believing that. Muhammad Ali was questioned one time. He was in England. And we were still saying that the white man is the devil, and he was asked a question, do you think all white people are devils? And he said, well, let me put it to you this way. If there was I was in a house, having them all locked up and everything, and the door was open to the front yard, and the front yard was thousands and thousands of rattlesnakes, and it was all coming to my door, trying to come in. Now, he said, do you think out of all those rattlesnakes, if I find just 10 of them, won't bother me. Do you think I would let all those rattlesnakes in? He said, no, I'll close the door because those 10 ain't going to be enough to save me from all those others. And that's the way the African-American is living in this culture we're in. The culture is not designed to save us. The culture is not designed to promote us. The culture is not designed to encourage us. We get encouragement from them as a byproduct of what they're doing. But it's not designed, and they don't pick any bones about it. They don't try to encourage us to be free thinkers. Look at what they did. They said, people of color. The African-American is getting upset with this idea about white and so forth. So, okay, no, you're people of color. We want people of color to have an opportunity, whereas before they didn't have an opportunity. Just by the European-American calling the African-American people of color, they just again did what they used to call African-Americans, and they called them Negroes. Say, you're Negroes. We're going to give you a chance. You're Negroes, but you're not exactly like us. Why would you have to call somebody people of color if they're the same thing as you? You wouldn't call them by anything because you and they are the same thing. They could have simply said, which would have been more advantageous, because simply said, we all are American. That wouldn't fulfill the truth, but it would have been closer than saying people of color, because they still excluded themselves from the group and made the group that we take care of you over here. You stand in this line, we are over here in this line. And they do it just not even casually, they do it automatically. It seems as though because they have been socialized by the same culture that they're pouring on us. Now, we have to be thinkers. We have to be thinkers. We have to understand that this is going on, and we have to look at our history, and this is why I love what I do so much, because it gets me to venture back and look at what our foreparents did, what they were trying to do to develop a culture, to create a culture, to cause a culture to evolve. And this is what was so makes me feel so good about researching who we are. Because now you get a little bit more that you could put in your mind, that you could combat that area in your subconscious mind, that this culture, they use up all your subconscious mind to keep you thinking and feeling what direction they want you to go without you being aware of it. Because the subconscious, you're not aware of how it influences you, but it does. It influences your conscious mind. So, but if we're embracing our parents or our foreparents, we're embracing their attempt, their direction, developing the culture, then we keep that culture evolving. We work on evolving our culture to the degree where it becomes dominant in our conscious mind and our subconscious. And we do realize that that might take a generation or two. But if we don't start it, it will not happen, because it's proof in our history that the European American has socialized themselves not to have us as equal, not to have us as American equals like them. They don't want to call themselves African American or European American, and you call them and they call you African American. They don't want that. That's too much equality. That means they are descendants from Europe who are American. You are descendants from Africa who are American. Too much equality. So they don't get into their European American conversation, your African American conversation. They would avoid that altogether. That's why they say people of color. They give you that play. They say, okay, you people are color. And African Americans buy into it. Political parties buy into it. I remember one time when Jesse Jackson had the program, the Rainbow Coalition. And in that Rainbow Coalition, we had a lot of Hispanics, well, they could call them Hispanic, people from South America, people from Mexico, Puerto Rico, who spoke Spanish, and who either looked dark, like most African people of African descent look, or not. But they spoke Spanish. And they were all part of this big movement. They called it the Rainbow Coalition. Jesse Jackson was head of it, and other African-Americans, and a lot of Spanish people got into it. When the Spanish people, Spanish-speaking people, got into it, they began to realize the power it had to get officers, get them appointed to jobs and appointed to positions, that now you see schools and all these things in different neighborhoods growing up in Spanish neighborhoods and names of Spanish people and Spanish addressing the Spanish culture. They don't call themselves the Rainbow Coalition anymore. They start calling themselves Hispanics. They start calling themselves Hispanics, Latinos. They say there's no such people as that, by the way. And you and I have figured that out by now. There's no such people as Hispanics. There's no such people as Latinos. Those are ideas and corruptions of language. Is a corruption of Spanish, the Spanish language from Spain. In Spain, they spoke Spanish. Those are Spaniards. They spoke Spanish, and when they came to the South America and North America, they indoctrinated their language with all of the people in that area. And they began to speak that language called Spanish. But that then made them, biologically, they're not Spaniards. Biologically or culturally, but they're either Mexican, or they are Colombian, or they're Portuguese, Argentinian, all of those. They're those groups, and if you put those groups together, their numbers are nowhere near close to to the numbers of African Americans in America, it's 42 million African Americans in America. There's no group. Colombia is maybe 4 million. Mexicans, 2.5 maybe. Puerto Ricans, 3 million. You have none of those groups close to the numbers of African Americans. But they came in under that Rainbow Coalition thing, and they were able to get their voting and all of those things in place. We have to be wiser than that. So we invite you back again next week. Be here at the same time and come more into the conversation. Bring your textbooks and everything. We have to change our behavior, and it begins with the way we think. We have to challenge the way we've been taught, and we have to begin to teach ourselves. That's just the way it is. They're not going to do it. They're not responsible for it. But they're responsible for it happening, but they're not responsible to get us out of it. We're responsible to ourselves. We have the strength and power to do it ourselves. So be sure to tune in next week here again at AM 360 and under the in the program we have here inheriting the power of mental freedom, and bring, as I say, your questions and invite others. Because we're going to get to the bottom of this so we can get to the top. We can't get to the top. We're already at the bottom. So our job is now to get to the top. See, so we want to thank you. We have come again, I mentioned earlier, we have coming right after this program, we have a program coming called Courtship. Courtship and that's another program worthy of listening to. So we encourage you to stay tuned for that. And wanted to hear one more advertisement relevant before we go out, and then we're going to...
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, The Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, The Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you very much for giving us that information. And again, remember that I encourage you all to remember it's very important how culture, our culture, now we have to stress that fact as much as we can, all we can. This is not Black history. It's bigger than that. They give us Black history so we won't look at the African-American culture. African-American culture is much deeper than a color of skin. We have to step out of that category. Because we're really looking at what's really important to us in our development is that the concept of culture alone, those of you who do not have that, and I know they tell us that culture is about the way we dance and the food we eat, but that's not the way it is. Culture is evolving. It's a deposit of knowledge. Positive knowledge, experiences, beliefs, and this that we went over one program. We went over the concept of belief and why that was so important. Then there's also values, attitudes, meanings, hierarchy, religion, notions of time. We're responsible for all of these things. We're gonna have to change the way we think. Been taught to think by the European Americans. and started creating our own concepts and own ideas about values to us and our belief system, our attitude toward life, meaning, hierarchy, religion. We have to have this definition now. We have to use our minds and our energies and what we've been taught to be able to come into the understanding about the things that make a culture whole, that make a culture unique. And this is our forefathers laid it down, the format laid it down, and we just have to pick it up and move forward with it. It's not a difficult job, but it is an important job. And if it does not happen for us, there's a good chance that our path will go the same route that the path of the Navajo Indian, the Napi Indian, Napi and Native American, the Aztec, the same people who had a culture work before, but they didn't keep and hold on to that culture. So the people disappeared. And don't think that's not possible. That's just how it happens. When people think it's not possible, that's when it happens to them. If you believe it can happen, you're going to start doing something about it. You have to first believe that. And then you will look for ways to change your thinking, change your values, and all of those things that are negative for African Americans, and start looking at what is positive for our growth and development. It's the same as a person with trying to quit doing something that's bad for them. You have to first acknowledge it. You have to first say, okay, I have a problem. I have a drug problem. I have a drug problem. You have to first look at that. Once they first, and once they agree with themselves inside, come to their own conscious mind, I have a problem, then they can start doing something about it. But until that time, they remain in the problem and think they are not in the problem, but yet everyone else sees the problem. And this is the way we have to think and understand that the rest of the world, the civilized world, see us as if we're drunk, see us as if we're stumbling around in the dark. They don't try to embarrass us all the time, but they think we're just athletes or something of that nature. They don't see us or respect us as a culture with an opinion of our own, with an idea of our own, with the concept we have of the universe and time. They don't see us like that because we haven't been conditioned to think like that. We have been conditioned to think like that only under the Europeans, Americans' supervision. Without their supervision, we don't usually venture in those fields of thought. We simply wait till one of them come along and say, oh, that's a good idea. Oh, I think that could work. But we have to get into the habit of thinking for ourselves, following the logic to its logical conclusion, and using that as the foundation to build our culture. We have a culture of our own. We have to embrace it. We have to realize how it came into existence on this program. From time to time, we'll talk about it. We can't do it every time we come on. We don't have enough time. But we will do it. So we want to thank all of you for coming out today and listening. And we look to see you back next week. We have another guest coming for you on another avenue. But we want to see you, and we want to talk with you, and we want you to talk with us about this culture and the changes. What we have to do, how we have to put it together. So I want to thank you all, and I greet you in peace. Allah bless you all, and I greet you in the greetings of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh amongst you all.